Welcome to Money is Freedom, a podcast exploring how finance and freedom connect in our lives. Created from thoughtful research and narrated by Notebook LM AI, this series brings you clear, meaningful insights into finance and beyond. Welcome to episode 28 of the podcast. Today, we're discussing Bitcoin's critical decision point. Bitcoin has been consolidating around $100,000, which some see as a consolidation phase before a breakout. The key is the upcoming labor market data release. This data historically impacts Bitcoin's price. We'll cover key levels and what to watch.
All right, so Bitcoin, huh? Everyone's talking about it, especially with this whole will it or won't it break $100,000 thing going on.
Yeah, it feels like we're all kind of glued to the charts right now, waiting for the next move.
Well, you've sent me a ton of interesting stuff to dig into. Articles, some charts, even a clip from that Benjamin Cowan guy, the crypto YouTuber.
Oh, yeah. He always has some interesting takes. It's crazy how Bitcoin's just been hanging around that $100,000 mark, like, what, for 3 months now?
It does feel like it's holding its breath, doesn't it? Mm. One of these articles called it a consolidation phase, which apparently is something Bitcoin does after a big price jump.
Makes sense when you think about it. Some people probably cash out after a big win, you know, take profits, which causes a little dip.
Right, like I'm out of here, time to enjoy the games.
Exactly. And then I bet you've got those big institutional investors. Maybe they're making moves behind the scenes during these quiet times.
That's like a standoff. Everyone's watching each other, waiting to see who makes the first move.
It kind of feels that way, yeah. Now, Benjamin Cowan, in that clip you sent, he thinks things might heat up next week.
Oh, really? Why is that?
He says that labor market data, the unemployment rate specifically, might be what pushes Bitcoin over that $100,000 edge or keeps it stuck where it is.
Huh. I gotta admit, the connection between jobs and Bitcoin isn't that obvious to me. These seem like totally different things.
I know, right? On the surface, it seems kind of random. But Cowan's argument is that a lot of people see Bitcoin as a way to protect themselves when the regular economy gets shaky.
So if the economy looks like if unemployment goes up, people might see Bitcoin as a safer place to put their money.
Yeah, that's the basic idea. A jump in unemployment usually means trouble for the economy. And when people get nervous, they look for somewhere safe to put their money. And for some, that's Bitcoin.
Makes sense. So what about if the news is good, like if unemployment goes down?
Well, that might mean the economy is doing better than expected, which might make the Federal Reserve, you know, the Fed, keep doing what they're doing.
But wait, didn't you say some people think the Fed's actions could be bad for Bitcoin?
Yeah, it's complicated. It has to do with how the Fed's policies can affect things like inflation. Some people think their current policies, if they keep going, could lead to more inflation, and when that happens,
Bitcoin starts to look more appealing because it's seen as a hedge against inflation, right?
Bingo. But if the economy's strong, the Fed might not change anything, which to some might mean Bitcoin's less attractive.
So it's all about reading the signs and guessing what everyone's going to think about Bitcoin, not just what's actually happening.
Pretty much. Cowan basically laid out three scenarios: strong economy, low unemployment. Bitcoin might just hang out or dip a little. Weak economy, high unemployment. That could be the boost it needs to break $100,000.
And what about if things stay basically the same, like no big changes in the unemployment rate?
Cowan thinks that might just keep things stuck. No big moves until there's a clearer sign of what's going to happen. He actually compared what's happening now to what happened back in 2016, 2017.
Oh, yeah. What's the connection there?
Well, he says Bitcoin's following a similar pattern to that period, which, if it keeps going that way, could mean a huge price jump in the next few months.
Wow, that's a bold prediction.
He even showed this chart, a running one-year ROI chart. Basically, it shows how Bitcoin's price usually doubles every year, but right now, it's lagging behind a bit.
So if it wants to keep up with that pattern, it needs to start moving soon.
Exactly. Of course, no one can predict the market perfectly. Cowan even says that.
Right. It's not like he has a crystal ball or something.
But he's saying if we look at history and we keep an eye on those key indicators, like the labor market data next week, we can start to get a sense of what might happen with Bitcoin.
Okay, so we've got to understand what this consolidation phase really means. It's obviously more than just Bitcoin taking a break.
Yeah.
What's the logic behind it, and has this happened before?
Yeah, good point. So there are a few reasons why something like Bitcoin goes through these quiet periods. One is, well, just think about it. If you just made a ton of money on Bitcoin, wouldn't you want to cash out some?
I mean, yeah, probably. Take some profits, enjoy the win.
Exactly. And when enough people do that, the price naturally dips a little. But it's not just that. It's also about how much Bitcoin is actually being traded during these times.
You mean like the volume of trading goes down?
Right. It's like the market takes a breather, like a deep breath, to get ready for the next big move. And that can create this feeling of anticipation, like something big is about to happen.
I get it. It's like the calm before the storm.
Exactly. And then don't forget about those big institutional players, the ones with a lot of money to move around.
Oh, right. They probably use these quiet times to make their moves too.
Exactly. They might be buying more Bitcoin or selling some or just waiting for the right moment. And because they're dealing with so much money, their actions can really shift things in the market.
So it's not just individual investors driving these patterns. It's this whole mix of different players, each with their own goals.
Absolutely. And if you look back at Bitcoin's history, you'll see these consolidation phases happen again and again. Remember those big price explosions in 2017 and 2021?
Yeah, those were wild.
Well, guess what? Bitcoin went through these exact same quiet periods right before each of them.
So this current pause, this sideways movement, it's not necessarily a bad sign, right? It was happened before.
Right. A lot of experts actually think these consolidations are healthy for the market, like hitting the reset button, you know? It lets things even out before the next big jump.
So is this calm before the storm about to end? Are there any clues we can look for?
Well, one article mentioned a 3-6 month rule, which isn't really a rule, more like a pattern people have noticed. These consolidation phases tend to last, well, 3 to 6 months.
So we're about 3 months into this one, which means we could be getting close to the end of the wait.
Maybe, but it's not a perfect science. Sometimes they're shorter, sometimes longer. It just depends.
Right, right. So what could actually break this phase and get Bitcoin moving again? The article talked about big economic changes and things like institutions buying more Bitcoin.
Yeah, those are all things to watch. Like, imagine if suddenly inflation was way higher than anyone expected, or the Fed did something completely unexpected with their policies.
People would freak out, right?
Yeah.
And maybe turn to Bitcoin for safety.
That's the idea. And then there are things like, you know, when governments pump money into the economy, or when big institutions decide to invest a lot.
Those big money moves.
Exactly. That can really energize a market, and Bitcoin could ride that wave. We've seen more and more of those big institutions getting into Bitcoin in the past few years.
True. It feels like every other week another big company announces they're buying Bitcoin.
And that sends a signal to other investors, right? It's like saying, hey, this Bitcoin thing is legit.
It's like getting a stamp of approval from the big financial players.
Exactly. And the more they buy, the higher the demand for Bitcoin goes, and that can push the price up, maybe even out of this consolidation phase.
So those big players are definitely a key piece of the puzzle. But let's go back to that labor market data coming out next week. Cowen seems to think it's a really big deal for Bitcoin.
He does. He sees it as a way to gauge the health of the U.S. economy. And, you know, the U.S. economy still affects the whole world, including crypto.
Right. We talked about how Bitcoin is like a hedge against economic uncertainty.
Exactly. So if the data shows a weak economy, people might pile into Bitcoin for safety.
You mentioned a high unemployment rate could actually be good for Bitcoin because it might push the Fed to do things that make the U.S. dollar weaker. And that's good for Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's a little roundabout, I know. But basically, if the economy's struggling, the Fed might try to help by, you know, lowering interest rates or putting more money into the system.
But those actions can sometimes have unintended consequences, like weakening the dollar.
Right. And when the dollar looks shaky, people might turn to things like Bitcoin, which aren't tied to any one country's economy.
So, to sum it up, the labor market data affects the Fed's choices, which affect the dollar, which affects Bitcoin.
You got it. It's all connected. But the question is, historically, has there been a clear link between jobs data and Bitcoin's price?
Good question. Has there?
Well, it's not so straightforward. It's not like every time unemployment goes up, Bitcoin automatically goes up too. There have been times when a good economy with low unemployment actually helped Bitcoin.
Wait, really? How does that work?
Think about it. When the economy's strong, people have more money to invest, right? And some of that money might go into Bitcoin.
So in that case, what's good for the economy is also good for Bitcoin.
Exactly. It all comes down to how investors feel and what they think about the economic news. But like we said before, there are also times when bad economic news, like high unemployment, can be good for Bitcoin.
Because it makes those Fed actions more likely, the ones that can weaken the dollar.
Exactly. So it's about understanding the whole picture. Economic data, what the Fed does, and the overall mood of the market. lots of moving pieces.
Sounds complicated, like trying to predict the weather weeks in advance. There's too much going on.
Yeah. Great analogy. It's not about knowing exactly what will happen, but more about understanding the possibilities. And that's why next week's data is so important. It could give us a big clue about where Bitcoin is headed.
So if I'm following all this correctly, we need to be ready for anything. Bitcoin could go up, it could go down, or it could stay stuck.
Basically, yeah. It's going to be an exciting week, that's for sure.
So should I be refreshing the Bitcoin price every 5 seconds? What should I be doing right now?
Well, I wouldn't recommend staring at the charts nonstop. That can drive you crazy. Just remember, these consolidation phases are normal, and they often happen before big moves, just like we've been talking about.
So even if nothing happens for a while, it's not necessarily a bad thing, right?
Right. My advice, stay informed, be patient, and maybe even enjoy the suspense. Bitcoin is known for being unpredictable, so buckle up and enjoy the ride.
And here's something for everyone to think about. Cowen talked a lot about what might lead up to a breakout, but not so much about what might happen after. Could this be the start of a whole new Bitcoin boom? And even if it breaks $100,000, could it still crash down again? Those are the questions we'll be exploring next time.
That's a great point. Lots to unpack there, and I'm looking forward to digging into those questions with you.
Yeah, those are some big questions for sure. It's like we're at a fork in the road, waiting to see which way Bitcoin will go. To really get a handle on what might happen after a breakout,
yeah.
I think we need to look at both sides. You know, the things that could keep pushing it higher and the things that could drag it down.
Okay, yeah, let's break it down that way. So Let's start with the good stuff. What are the arguments for Bitcoin just like taking off from here? What could keep that momentum going?
Well, for starters, we can't ignore all those big institutions getting into Bitcoin like we talked about earlier. The more they invest, the more it seems like a real legitimate thing, which attracts even more investors.
It's like a snowball effect. Exactly. And it's not just about those big players. Either Bitcoin's gaining a reputation as a solid way to store value. Like some people are even comparing it to gold.
Digital gold, right. Yeah. You've heard that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when the economy's uncertain or things are unstable in the world, investors want something safe to hold on to, something that won't lose its value. And Bitcoin, with its limited supply and decentralized setup, is starting to look like a good alternative to traditional safe havens like gold.
So it's like a shield against all the chaos in the world.
That's one way to think about it. And as the world gets, well, more unpredictable, we might see even more people turn to Bitcoin, pushing the price up even higher. But it's not just about fear driving Bitcoin's value. There's a lot of cool stuff happening on the technology side, too.
Yeah, for sure. We can't forget about the tech. Right. What developments are you most excited about?
Well, one example is something called the Lightning Network. It's basically being built on top of Bitcoin's blockchain, and it makes transactions much faster, cheaper, and easier to handle. This could be a game changer, because it means Bitcoin could actually be used for everyday purchases, not just as an investment.
So it's not just this abstract thing anymore, it's becoming more practical.
Exactly. And that real-world usefulness is what drives long-term value. But, you know, we've talked a lot about the potential upsides, but we gotta be realistic. What are some of the risks that could cause a correction, even if Bitcoin does break through that $100,000 mark?
Yeah, gotta stay grounded, right? What are you thinking?
Well, one thing that always looms over crypto is government regulation. Governments around the world are still figuring out what to do with Bitcoin and all these other cryptocurrencies. And let's be honest, they haven't always been the most supportive. If some country suddenly decided to crack down on Bitcoin or put strict rules in place, that could scare investors and send the price plummeting.
Yeah, it's like a sword hanging over Bitcoin's head.
Exactly. That regulatory risk is always there. And then there's the issue of, well, market manipulation. Bitcoin is still a relatively new market. And let's face it, not everything is always above board. Mm. Those big players, the ones with tons of Bitcoin, they could manipulate the price, create artificial swings that mess things up for everyone else.
So it's a bit of a Wild West out there. Lots of opportunity, but also lots of danger.
You could say that. And then you can't forget about the competition. There are new cryptocurrencies popping up all the time, and some of them are doing some really innovative things that Bitcoin doesn't do. That competition could eat away at Bitcoin's dominance and potentially hurt its price.
Right. Got to keep up with the times.
Exactly. And of course, there are those big economic forces we talked about earlier, a global recession, sudden interest rate hikes, a stronger US dollar. All of these things could negatively impact Bitcoin because at the end of the day, it's still considered a risky asset. When people get scared about the economy, they tend to move their money to safer places.
So even if Bitcoin has all this potential, it's still vulnerable to those big economic shifts.
Absolutely. It's all interconnected. Now, we've looked at both the positive and negative arguments, but I'm curious, what do you think about all the talk of this being the start of a whole new Bitcoin boom? Is that hype or is it a real possibility?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people saying that too. What's your take?
Well, I think it's definitely possible Bitcoin has surprised us before, right? It's gone up when people thought it would crash, and it's crashed when people thought it would go up. If more institutions keep investing, if the world stays uncertain, and if Bitcoin's reputation as a store of value keeps growing, then yeah, another big price surge is totally possible.
So it's like a rocket ship that's fueled up and ready to go. We just don't know if it'll reach orbit or come crashing back down.
Great analogy. Trying to predict market cycles is super tough. There are so many variables, even experts get it wrong all the time. But that's part of what makes this space so exciting, right? It's unpredictable, and there's always the potential for big wins and big losses.
Okay, so let's say Bitcoin does break $100,000 and starts climbing. What could trigger a correction, even in a positive market?
Even in a bull market, corrections are normal. It's like taking a break on a long road trip. The market needs to cool off sometimes before it can keep going. And a few things could cause that, even if Bitcoin's generally going up. One is profit-taking. As prices rise, some people who bought Bitcoin earlier might decide to cash out, lock in their profits.
Classic buy low, sell high.
Exactly. And that selling can push the price down temporarily. Then there's the danger of, you know, too much hype. When Bitcoin's price is soaring, the media loves to talk about it, and that can create a fear of missing out. People start making impulsive decisions, buying Bitcoin at inflated prices just because they don't want to miss the boat. And that can create a bubble, which, well, we know what happens to bubbles.
They pop.
Exactly. Yeah. And that can be painful for anyone who bought in at the top. So it's important to stay calm and not get swept up in the frenzy, even when things look really exciting. And then there are always those unexpected events that could happen. A big hack, a security breach, a sudden change in government regulations. Those things can shake investor confidence no matter how strong Bitcoin might seem.
So even when things seem good, there are still things to watch out for.
For sure. Crypto is still relatively new and vulnerable to those kinds of shocks. It's important to stay informed, be aware of the risks, and have a plan for dealing with them.
It's like sailing in uncharted waters. You got to be ready for anything.
Exactly. That's why it's so important to understand historical patterns and pay attention to those key indicators like we've been talking about. By looking at past market cycles, identifying potential risks, and monitoring things like that labor market data, investors can make better decisions and navigate the crypto market more effectively.
So it's not about knowing the future for sure, but about understanding the possibilities and being prepared for anything.
Precisely. And that's where I think deep dives like this one can be so valuable. By exploring different perspectives, looking at the data, and considering all the possibilities, we can understand things better and make smarter choices.
It's like shining a light on a dark path so we can see where we're going.
Great way to put it. We've talked a lot about market stuff, but I want to step back for a minute and think about the bigger picture. Where does Bitcoin fit into the whole financial world? What do you think its role will be?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's obviously shaking things up.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, Bitcoin represents a fundamental shift in how we think about money, value, and control. Its decentralized nature, its limited supply, and its global accessibility make it truly unique. It's a potential game changer.
It's like it's disrupting the whole financial system.
Exactly. Its very existence raises big questions about central banks, about what money even is, and about the future of finance. Of course, some people say Bitcoin's just a bubble, a fad that'll fade away. What do you say to that?
Well, it's been super volatile, and there's definitely been a lot of speculation, but it's more than just a price on a screen, right?
Right. It's a technology, a network, a whole movement.
It's like the internet in its early days.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of hype and uncertainty, but ultimately it changed everything.
Great comparison. And just like the internet changed how we communicate and share information, Bitcoin has the potential to revolutionize how we think about and use money. It lets people send value to each other directly without needing banks. It can be a hedge against inflation and economic instability, and it gives people more control over their own finances.
So it's not just about making money, it's about a shift in power, giving more control to the people.
Exactly. And that's what makes Bitcoin so compelling, both as an investment and as a social and technological force.
It's like a seed that's been planted. We don't know what it will grow into, but it has the potential to be something really amazing.
And that's what makes this so exciting to watch. It's a journey of discovery full of possibilities and challenges.
Okay, so back to the current market. Cowen said that Bitcoin is doing now what it did back in 2016 and 2017. Tell me more about that. What's similar and what's different?
Sure. One big similarity is the timing, specifically in relation to the Bitcoin halving. The halving is this event that happens about every 4 years, where the rate at which new Bitcoins are created gets cut in half. This reduction in supply is generally seen as a positive thing because it makes Bitcoin more scarce while demand potentially keeps growing.
So it's like squeezing the supply, which could push prices up.
Exactly. Now, the last halving was in May 2020, and both back then and now, we saw big price increases in the months after. This makes people think that the halving might act as a trigger for these big market cycles.
Interesting. Like a domino effect.
Maybe. Another similarity is the pattern of consolidation and breakouts. In both cases, Bitcoin traded sideways for a while, consolidating before shooting up to new all-time highs.
Like a climber taking a break to catch their breath before tackling the next part of the mountain.
Perfect analogy. Now, of course, there are some differences too. One big one is the level of institutional adoption. Back in 2016 and 2017, not many big institutions were involved. Today, it's a different story. We're seeing major investment firms, hedge funds, even corporations getting into Bitcoin.
So the market is more mature now, more grown up?
Exactly. And that brings more money, more stability, and potentially less wild swings.
Like the adults are supervising the party now?
Kind of, yeah. And that's probably going to affect how this cycle plays out. Another big difference is the overall economic situation. Back in 2016 and 2017, the global economy was pretty stable. Today, we've got higher inflation, rising interest rates, and a lot of uncertainty.
So the world is a lot more chaotic now.
Yeah, exactly. And those big economic factors are going to play a big role in how Bitcoin performs. So even though there are some interesting similarities to the last cycle, things are different this time around. It's hard to say for sure how things will go.
We can learn from history, but it's not a crystal ball, right?
Exactly. We need to think about both the similarities and the differences as we navigate this market.
Okay, so back to the present. We've spent a lot of time talking about this labor market data coming out next week and how Callan thinks it's a big moment for Bitcoin. Why does he think it's so important?
Well, remember, the labor market data tells us how healthy the U.S. economy is, and the U.S. economy affects everything, including crypto. And because Bitcoin is often seen as a hedge against economic uncertainty, if the data shows a weak economy, people might start moving their money into Bitcoin.
You said that a high unemployment rate could actually be good for Bitcoin because it might push the Fed to make decisions that weaken the dollar, and that's good for Bitcoin. Could you explain that again?
Sure. It's a bit of a roundabout effect, but the idea is this. If the economy is struggling and unemployment is going up, the Fed might try to help by doing things like lowering interest rates or printing more money. But these actions can sometimes backfire and weaken the U.S. dollar. And when that happens, people might turn to things like Bitcoin, which aren't tied to any specific country's economy.
It's like a chain reaction. The labor market data affects the Fed, which affects the dollar, which affects Bitcoin.
Exactly. It's all interconnected. But has there actually been a clear connection between jobs data and Bitcoin's price in the past?
Good question.
Has there? Well, it's not quite that simple. It's not like every time unemployment goes up, Bitcoin automatically goes up too. Sometimes a strong economy with low unemployment has been good for Bitcoin.
Wait, really? How does that make sense?
Think about it. When the economy is doing well, people have more money to invest, right? And some of that money might flow into Bitcoin.
So sometimes what's good for the economy is good for Bitcoin too.
Exactly. It all depends on how investors are feeling and how they interpret the economic news. But as we discussed earlier, there are also times when bad economic news, like high unemployment, can be good for Bitcoin.
Because it makes those Fed actions more likely, the ones that can weaken the dollar.
Exactly. So the key is to understand the interplay between all these different factors. The economic data, the Fed's actions, and the overall mood of the market. It's a complex puzzle with a lot of moving pieces.
Sounds like trying to predict the weather. You can look at the forecast, but there are always surprises.
That's a great analogy. The point is not to make perfect predictions, but to understand the different possibilities and how different scenarios might play out. That's why this upcoming labor market data is so important. It could give us a big hint about what's likely to happen with Bitcoin.
Okay, so we've talked about the relationship between the labor market and Bitcoin. And we've discussed the different scenarios that could unfold based on this upcoming data release. But I want to go back to this idea of Bitcoin as a hedge against economic uncertainty. How does that work exactly? What makes Bitcoin appealing as a safe haven asset?
That's a great question, and it gets to the heart of what makes Bitcoin so different. Its appeal as a safe haven comes down to a few key things. First, its decentralized nature. Unlike regular currencies, which are controlled by central banks, Bitcoin runs on a decentralized network. This means it's not subject to the whims of governments or financial institutions. No single entity can manipulate or devalue it.
So it's like a lifeboat that can't be sunk by the same storm that might take down traditional financial systems.
I like that analogy. The second thing is its limited supply. There will only ever be 21 million bitcoins. This means it can't be inflated by governments or central banks printing more money. This scarcity is seen as a protection against inflation and currency devaluation, kind of like gold.
So it's like a digital version of gold, a finite resource that can't be manipulated or debased.
Exactly. And the third thing is its global accessibility. You can send and receive Bitcoin anywhere in the world with an internet connection. This makes it super valuable for people in countries with unstable currencies or limited access to traditional banking.
So it's like a financial passport that lets you bypass traditional gatekeepers and access a global network of value exchange.
Precisely. These characteristics, decentralization, limited supply, and global accessibility, are what make Bitcoin attractive as a safe haven, especially during times of economic or geopolitical turmoil.
So when things get rough, Bitcoin could be a beacon of stability and resilience.
It's definitely a possibility. Of course, it's important to remember that Bitcoin is still a relatively young and volatile asset. Its price can swing wildly, and its future as a safe haven isn't guaranteed. It's not completely risk-free, but it does have some unique features that make it appealing during uncertain times.
Okay, that makes sense. So we've covered a lot of ground here. We talked about market cycles, bullish and bearish factors, the importance of this upcoming labor market data, and Bitcoin's potential as a safe haven asset. But let's shift gears for a moment and talk about the average person who's just starting to learn about Bitcoin. What advice would you give them as they dip their toes into this new and exciting world?
That's a great question, and one I hear a lot. My advice for beginners would be this. First, learn as much as you can. Read articles, watch videos, listen to podcasts like this one, and talk to people who know about Bitcoin. The more you understand how it works, the better decisions you'll make.
That's like anything new, right? Got to do your research.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to ask questions. There are tons of resources online and within the Bitcoin community that can help you learn. Second, start small. Don't invest more than you can afford to lose. Bitcoin is a volatile asset. Its price can move up and down quickly. So start with a small amount and gradually increase your exposure as you gain more experience and confidence.
So it's like testing the waters before jumping in.
Exactly. And third, be patient. Bitcoin is a long-term game. Don't expect to get rich quick. Focus on understanding the technology, the market, and your own investment goals.
It's like planting a seed and watching it grow over time.
Precisely. Bitcoin is still young and has a lot of potential. By taking a long-term view, you can benefit from its growth and evolution.
So it's not about timing the market or chasing quick profits, but about understanding the fundamentals and making informed decisions based on your own situation and goals.
Exactly. Knowledge, patience, and a little healthy skepticism will serve you well in the world of Bitcoin.
Those are great tips for beginners. But what about more experienced Bitcoin investors? What should they be focusing on right now?
That's a good question. I think for experienced investors, it's all about a few key things. First, managing risk. Like we discussed, Bitcoin is volatile and the market can change fast. Having a solid risk management strategy is crucial. This might mean diversifying your portfolio, setting stop-loss orders to limit potential losses, and being prepared mentally and financially for potential downturns.
So it's not just about making money, but also about protecting what you've already made.
Exactly. Protecting your capital is just as important as growing it, especially in a market like crypto. The second thing is staying informed. The crypto world is constantly changing, with new technologies, regulations, and market trends emerging all the time. Staying up to date and being flexible with your investment strategy is key.
It's like navigating a constantly changing landscape. You got to be aware of the shifting terrain.
Precisely. And the third thing I'd suggest is to step back and think about the big picture implications of Bitcoin. As we've discussed, it's more than just an investment. It's a technology, a network, a movement that has the potential to reshape finance. Consider the broader impact of Bitcoin and how it might fit into your long-term investment goals.
So it's about looking beyond the daily price swings and thinking about the bigger picture. What role could Bitcoin play in the world 10 or 20 years from now?
Exactly. Bitcoin has the potential to change the financial system as we know it. By understanding its potential and its risks, experienced investors can make better decisions and position themselves to benefit from its evolution.
Okay, so we've talked about the market, Bitcoin as a safe haven, advice for beginners and experienced investors. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you want to add before we move on to the last part of our deep dive?
You know, I think it's worth emphasizing that Bitcoin is more than just an investment. It's an innovation that's challenging the status quo and making us rethink how we approach money and finance. Even if you never buy any Bitcoin, it's worth paying attention to because it's likely to have a big impact on the world in the coming years.
That's a powerful statement.
Yeah.
I think it's why so many people are interested in Bitcoin. It's not just about potential profits. It's about being part of something bigger, something that could change the world.
Exactly. It's about empowering individuals, promoting financial inclusion, and creating a more transparent and equitable financial system.
Those are some big goals.
Yeah.
It remains to be seen whether Bitcoin can actually achieve them.
Of course. Mm. But the fact that it's sparked these conversations and challenged our assumptions is a big deal in itself. It's making us rethink how we do things, and that's always a good thing.
I agree. Change can be uncomfortable, but it's often necessary for progress. Okay, let's pause here for now. We've covered a lot, and our listeners probably have a lot to think about. In the final part of our deep dive, I want to explore something that Callan didn't really talk about. What happens after Bitcoin breaks out? Will we see a new bull market, or will there be a correction? And what factors could affect its price in the long run?
Those are great questions, and I think they're the perfect way to wrap up our deep dive. Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll explore what the future might hold for Bitcoin.
All right, so picking up where we left off, Bitcoin's not just about buying and selling. It's really making us rethink what money even is.
It's true, whether you're a hardcore investor or just someone who's heard of Bitcoin, it's hard to deny it's shaking things up in the financial world. We're seeing all these new ideas popping up about money and value, new technologies. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's like Bitcoin cracked open a door to a whole new world, and now we're all trying to figure out what's on the other side.
Exactly. And speaking of uncharted territory, remember how Benjamin Cowan mostly talked about what might lead up to Bitcoin breaking $100,000? What about what happens after that?
Yeah, that's the big question, right? Does breaking $100,000 mean Bitcoin's just going to keep going up like a new bull run?
Mm-hmm.
Or could it still drop even after it hits that big number?
And what are the things that'll shape Bitcoin's future in the long run? We talked about some of the risks, but what about the potential for it to grow and change?
Okay, so let's talk about the future. What's exciting you about Bitcoin's potential?
Well, one thing that really gets me is that we're still so early in the game. We're witnessing the birth of a whole new kind of asset, a new technology, a new way to think about money. And that means there's a ton of room for growth and innovation.
It's like the internet in the 90s, right? People knew it was a big deal, but they couldn't even imagine how much it would change everything.
Perfect comparison. And just like the internet, I think Bitcoin's going to keep evolving, driven by new tech, more people using it, and of course, how governments decide to regulate it. Let's start with the tech side. What innovations could shape Bitcoin's future?
Sounds good. What are you keeping an eye on?
Well, we talked about the Lightning Network, how it's making Bitcoin faster and easier to use for everyday stuff, but there's more. People are working on ways to make Bitcoin transactions even more private and secure, which is a big deal for people concerned about privacy.
Yeah, privacy is a big issue these days with everything being online.
Right. And then there are things like smart contracts and decentralized finance, what they call DeFi, being built on top of Bitcoin. These could open up all sorts of new possibilities like decentralized lending, new ways to manage assets, even prediction markets. It's pretty wild.
So Bitcoin could be like the base layer for a whole new financial system.
It's definitely possible. And as that system grows, it could attract more users, developers, and investment, which would drive even more innovation. It's like building a city. The more you build, the more people want to come live and work there, which leads to even more building.
Okay, so that's the tech side.
Mm-hmm.
But what about adoption? What needs to happen for Bitcoin to go from this niche thing to something everyone uses?
I think the key is making it easy to use. Right now, buying, selling, and using Bitcoin can be pretty confusing for most people. Wallets, exchanges, all these new terms to learn. If we want mass adoption, we got to make the experience simple and intuitive.
Yeah, like remember when computers were super complicated to use, then someone came along and made them user-friendly, and boom, everyone started using them.
Exactly. We need that same kind of aha moment for Bitcoin, where people are like, oh, this is actually easy and makes sense. And I think that'll happen as more businesses start accepting Bitcoin and as those user-friendly wallets and apps become more common.
So it's about making Bitcoin accessible to everyone, not just the tech savvy.
Exactly. And then there's the whole regulation thing. We talked about how uncertain regulations are a risk, but they can also be a good thing.
How so?
Well, clear regulations can bring legitimacy and stability to the industry. It's like setting the rules of the game so everyone knows what's allowed and what's not.
So it's about creating a level playing field, making sure everyone's playing by the same rules.
Right. And as more governments create those clear rules for Bitcoin, it could boost confidence among investors and pave the way for more people to start using it.
It's like giving Bitcoin an official seat at the table, recognizing it as a legitimate part of the global financial system.
Exactly. Okay, so we've talked about the potential for growth and innovation, but let's be real for a second. Bitcoin's known for being super volatile with huge price swings. Can it really become mainstream if it's so unpredictable?
Yeah, that's a big concern for a lot of people.
It's a valid question, and it's one that people have been debating forever in the crypto world. Some say the volatility is just part of growing up, that it'll stabilize as the market matures and more people use Bitcoin. Others say it's just part of Bitcoin's DNA, that it'll always be prone to big swings because it's decentralized and digital, influenced by market sentiment and all sorts of external factors.
So there's no easy answer.
Not really. It's something we'll have to see play out over time, and it's something everyone needs to consider for themselves. Are you okay with volatility? Can you handle those ups and downs? Or do you want something more predictable?
It's about knowing your own risk tolerance, right?
Absolutely. And remember, Bitcoin's more than just something to trade. It's a technology, a network, a movement with the potential to make a real difference in the world.
We've talked about how it could democratize finance, empower individuals, and promote financial inclusion. But what are some other ways it could have a positive impact?
Well, one area that's really interesting is remittances. You know, when people send money to family and friends in other countries, especially developing countries, traditional services can be really expensive and slow. Bitcoin offers a much faster, cheaper, and more transparent way to send money across borders.
That could be huge for people who rely on remittances.
Absolutely. And then there's Bitcoin's potential to disrupt the traditional banking system, which can be unfair and even predatory. Especially for certain communities, Bitcoin could give people access to financial services outside that system, empowering those who have been left out.
It's like giving people the tools to build their own financial futures without being limited by the traditional system.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
And it's inspiring a lot of people around the world. Now, we've been pretty optimistic about Bitcoin's future, and we should acknowledge that there are definitely challenges ahead. We talked about regulations, tech risks, market manipulation, but what do you see as the biggest threat to Bitcoin's long-term success?
That's a tough one. What worries you the most?
I think the biggest danger is complacency. It's easy to get caught up in the hype and excitement, but we can't forget that Bitcoin is still relatively new, and it's constantly changing. We can't just assume it'll succeed. We need to keep innovating, adapting, and overcoming challenges to reach its full potential.
So no resting on our laurels.
Exactly. And it's about building a strong community, too. One of the most amazing things about Bitcoin is the people involved. Developers, entrepreneurs, investors, enthusiasts from all over the world. They're all passionate about Bitcoin's potential. And it's this community that will ultimately determine its fate.
It's a collective effort, a shared journey.
Absolutely. And it's a journey I'm incredibly excited to be a part of.
You've given us a lot to think about today. It's clear that Bitcoin is much more than just a digital currency. It's a movement, a technology, a force for change.
It's been great exploring all this with you. I hope our listeners have learned something new and are excited to keep learning about the world of Bitcoin.
And remember, the best way to learn is to stay curious, ask questions, and never stop exploring. Thanks for listening, and until next time, happy researching.